Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
You are a human animal. You are a very special breed. For you are the only animal who can think, who can reason, who can read.
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt, and this is Bookworm. Today I'm honored to be speaking to Jean-Philippe Toussaint. He is Belgian. He writes in French. He lives in Berlin. Seven of his books have been translated in English. His work is a zany and accessible description of our ultra-modern lives. His most recent book is Self-Portrait Abroad, preceded barely a year ago by Running Away. Both books are published by the wonderful Dalkey Archive Press. Speed is the essence of Toussaint's career. He published four books by the time he was 35, went on to direct films as well as write novels. His books, too, move at the speed of the now. Self-Portrait Abroad is only 84 pages long. It begins in Tokyo. Before you know it, you're in Hong Kong, followed by Berlin, followed by Prague, followed by Cap Coors, back to Japan, then off to Vietnam and to Tunisia. By the way, this is his first interview conducted in English. Jean-Philippe, is this the contemporary condition?
Yes, it can be. I think for every book I write, I have different priorities. It's not always the same priorities. For my first books, The Bathroom or Camera, I think the priority was to express a feeling of the world, a view of the world. I try to do it with humor. For a book like television, I think humor was really a priority. It was like an aesthetical criteria. For me, a page was successful if it was funny. After, I have maybe other priorities for the last books, for Making Love or Running Away. I am looking for something different, maybe something more classical. I am older now, and I'm looking maybe for beauty. I'm looking for beauty. I'm looking for poetry. And for my last books, I think the main priority is energy. I think I am looking for something I could call literary energy. And it is something very special, I think. This literary energy can emerge from the still lines of a book, but it is very rare. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it's like an electrical current which is circulating from the mind of the reader and the still lines of a book. And that, I think that is the most exciting thing in literature. I can say I discovered that with Faulkner.
It seems to me that from the beginning, you were interested in banning boredom. Because people will say that your work began with as a departure from the great experimental French writer Robespierre. But in fact, it seems to me that Robespierre was harsh and demanding even to the readers who loved him the most. From the very beginning, although you may be dealing with static situations, comedy seems to be the thing that you're seeking. In other words, the austerity seems to be the thing that you're jettisoning.
Mm-hmm. You know, my first books, not all my books, were published in France by Les Éditions Minuit. It is a publishing house, very famous. And the publisher, Jérôme Lindon, is a sort of figure, a sort of person very important in the 20th century. He is maybe one of the most important publisher. He invented with Rob Guillet this idea of nouveau roman, new roman. And when I start writing, I send my manuscript to publishers, and the only one who accepted to publish my books was Jérôme Lindon. I was very proud because he was a publisher of writers like Beckett, like Marguerite Duras, like Claude Simon. And I thought I wasn't so serious. I wasn't a serious author. I thought it was maybe too funny for to be published in such an important publishing house. And I was very intimidated.
Well, you know, in America, too, we had the new novel, and it was very admired, but it terrified many writers because it felt to them as if the things that were the priorities in fiction, character, plot, event, were to be dismissed in favor of intense geometrical description and an accuracy of metrical.
I think a book has to be exciting. It can be theoretical, but it's not important. I think the books of Beckett, I don't like to say the books of the new roman, because new roman, it's just it's too large. I prefer to speak of the books of one person, the book of Samuel Beckett. I love the book of Samuel Beckett, and it doesn't matter if it comes in such or such movement, literary movement. I find so close of Beckett when I am reading Beckett. It's an extraordinary feeling to be so close. I am a human being close to another human being, and that's great.
Well, it's interesting that you say so, because in America, we discover Beckett first through the plays and only later through the novels. Now, the plays take a special sensibility, but I defy anyone to pick up Beckett's novel called Watt, W-A-T-T, and not find themselves laughing and even laughing convulsively.
Yes.
It's an enormous achievement. And like you, they are about, these novels, humans who are reduced to studying minutiae. How would you walk across the room if you didn't have any legs is a common problem in a Beckett novel. What if, in fact, the room were removed and you were crawling through the mud? These kinds of things seem grim, and in your books, they turn even funnier because the people are not undergoing mutilation. They are ordinary people trying to remember what it is that might take them out of the bathtub. Mm-hmm. What are the invitations of life?
Mm-hmm. In the books of Samuel Beckett, in Molloy, for instance, we have some things very funny, you told. It's really very, very funny. And also, there is something different, and sometimes there is a sort of gravitas. But it is both at the same time, humor and gravitas. And I like very much these two things at the same time. I like the idea of at the same time. And I could say I like when it is black and white, not gray, hot and cold, not lukewarm. And this is possible in literature. In literature, it's possible to have two opposite things, opposite position, opposite feelings at the same time. And it's very important because, unlike politics, for instance, in politics, you have to choose. It is either cold or warm. You can have both.
I'm speaking to Jean-Philippe Toussaint, and we're speaking about essentially simultaneity of opposing moods in literature. And in fact, in the book Running Away, there's a fantastic example of this. We are in Japan on a train. A man is making love secretly with a woman in one of what must be the favorite places of Jean-Philippe Toussaint, in a bathroom. He hears his cell phone ringing. It is, in fact, his perhaps ex-wife or ex-girlfriend, and she says to him, "My father has died." He's shocked, but as he continues to hold the cell phone to his ear, he hears her. She's calling him from the Louvre Museum, and she's walking through gallery after gallery. She's forgotten to turn off the cell phone. So there he is in a bathroom making secret love to a Japanese woman, hearing his girlfriend in Paris, walking through the Louvre in the terrible awareness of her father's death. And all he can think of is, how can I get back to Paris immediately?
Yes, I am very interested in object of her daily life, also object of the contemporary world. I think cell phone is an object. I hate cell phone for myself, but as a writer, a very interesting object, because it's possible to be at the same time in China and in Paris at the same time, and no writer could have written such a scene 10 years ago, because there is no cell phone, and it was impossible to be at the same time in two places. With a cell phone, I think I discover literary use of an object of the contemporary world, and I think that is certainly one of the role, one of the duty of a writer to have this attention, this view on the contemporary world, because a writer is an observer, and for me, that's the main role of a writer, to observe the world around him.
And to say what it feels like to live now, to be here now. It seems to me that a filmmaker using intercutting can achieve the same thing. Has directing films altered the way you write fiction?
It's two different things, I think. It's very different. When I was young, I never thought that I could once become a writer. I was appassionated by cinema, and it was like a dream for me to be a cineast. And but it's really things very different. The only things which approach the two activities is maybe there is... always, in the two cases, there is a vision, a view. And that's the only point for me which reproaches the two arts.
When you were young, who were the people you loved as a cineast?
I would say Orson Welles and all the Italians, Fellini, Antonioni, Pasolini, and I could say also the French one of the Nouvelle Vague, Godard and Truffaut. So maybe Italian directors, because there is something, it is at the same time very popular and very intellectual. In the films of the movies of Fellini, you have things that people, it's for a very large audience. People can look at the films, but it is also very raffinated, very subtle, very intellectual. But it's not a problem to be intellectual. People, the audience, accept it and can. And nowadays, it's difficult to be an intellectual. If you are an intellectual, it's not exciting. And I like to be, at the same time, an intellectual and to write exciting books.
Well, it's thrilling. In Running Away, for instance, we gather gradually that we are in a novel involving Asia, heroine, perhaps heroin. It might be something else. The drug is only seen for a split second. And assembling around these characters is a thriller kind of novel. But a man has died. A man has died back in France. In fact, on the island of Elba, a significant French writer. So we are running away suddenly, like that, at the same time, into a novel of sentiment, emotion, and retrieved love. Suddenly the thriller ends and the novel of sentiment begins.
Yes, it's really that. I am not interested in the plot. I am interested in the energy. I am always looking for, as a writer, to movement. I like there is a lot of movement because that it could be energy. In my first book, The Bathroom, it is a guy in his bath tube. There is no energy. I have to find something else. If the book could be exciting, I have to find something else. And maybe humor was necessary at this moment. But now I try just to create this energy.
I think that in the book Self-Portrait Abroad, the energy is extraordinary because of the brevity of the chapters, because of the rapid pace of travel from place to place. He is something else every place he goes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he's a representative of the novel in Vietnam, of all things. They are speaking in four generations of Vietnamese writers, the people who fought the French, the people who fought the Americans, the people writing poetry now. And he is trying to figure out, how do I speak to any of them? How do I speak to all of them? And that seems to be the enterprise of these books. How do I speak to everyone at once?
Yes, and in this case, in Self-Portrait, it is also, for the first time, a sort of autobiographical book. Because a lot of things really happened to me. I speak about my own experiences. But to be provocative, I could say that everything in my books is autobiographical, but maybe not on the level of real life. In Self-Portrait, it is on the level of real life. But for the other books, I also experienced everything. Everything I write, I have experienced it. With my senses, with my vision, with my hearing, with my touch. And there is a real feeling. And so I could say everything is autobiographical.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to Bookworm from the studios of KCRW. I'm talking to Jean-Philippe Toussaint, the author of Self-Portrait Abroad, and just before that, Running Away. This is the first interview Toussaint has done speaking in English. We'll continue after this short break. I'm Michael Silverblatt, this is Bookworm, and I'm talking with Jean-Philippe Toussaint about Self-Portrait Abroad and the novel Running Away. Self-Portrait Abroad is narrated by a Belgian writer. It's person clearly identical with the man who sits across from me. And he's seeking the ordinary in the exotic, but I would say, in particular, where this book comes to rest, as more and more your books do, is in a state of poetic melancholy. The sentences become extraordinarily beautiful, memorable, elegiac. I think you've been stretching toward Faulkner in the length of your sentences and in their really cadenced beauties. It's almost as if that fast guy quipping is giving way to someone in awe of the world around him.
Yes, maybe I I discover I was melancholic. It's a good. It's something new for me, and I write a little book whose title is "The Melancholy of Zidane, the player, the soccer player Zidane." And for me, it was so important to use this word "melancholy" in the title of one of my books because so a sweet word. I like melancholy because it's sad and sweet, and people said that all the artists are melancholic, maybe. And I discover it now, and I'm sure I am melancholic.
What I've been discovering recently in French writing is an extraordinary vein of melancholy. There's a French writer who we're seeing published in America named Echinos, and there too, tiny things, a beautiful kind of microscopic sensibility, exploring the world of the small. And so even in a book that he writes, just as you write about Zidane, the soccer player, he writes a book about Ravel. Mm. It's a tiny book. Massive biographies have been written, and the romance, the late afternoon, the crepuscular, the twilight of smallness, the sadness of the world getting small, almost like viewed from the other end of a telescope. And you too love this melancholy, and you call it the infinitesimal.
Yes. Some people in France said talk about us, Jean Echinoz and me and some other writers, talk about minimalism. And I didn't like so much this word minimalism because it's a little bit reductionist or it's too small. And the last word of my book, It's Making Love, the last word is an infinitesimal disaster. In French, it's un désastre infinitesimal. The very last word of the book is infinitesimal. And I think over and I discover that it is very interesting for a novel. We could speak about an infinitesimalist novel. And because there is the two infinities whose Blaise Pascal was speaking, the big one and the small one. And I like that in the books we have both, the two infinities, the small one, the more prosaic things, the most insignificant details of daily life, but also at the same time the big one, the big infinity, the sense of life, the place of human beings in the universe.
Yes, and more your novels are traveling to Asia. Is that part of the discovery of their appreciation of the miniature and the precise?
Yes, it is. It is also because I travel a lot to Japan and to China. All my books are translated in Japan and in China. And I was very often invited by universities or by my publishing house in Japan. And I make a lot of trips in Japan. I was always exciting with the society, with everything in Japan. And so it appears in my books, not immediately, but 5 or 6 years later, I understand I have to speak about how Japan was important in my life, how China was important in my life. And in the case of China, if I speak about China, I am speaking about the contemporary world. Because it is in China that the world is the most contemporary. China is really contemporary. Everywhere there is buildings, works. Everywhere the world is changing. And I think I am speaking of China. If I speak about China, I am speaking of the contemporary world, about our world.
Because the object that makes me think of your books is in fact Japanese.
Ah, yes.
I collect them. They are Japanese boxes that you have to figure out how to open. Mm. There are sliding panels, shifting spaces, often as not, you have to slide a panel back again before you can proceed. And your books are full of the sense of something about to open, an almost horizon, then a return. Oh, let's go back to Berlin before we return to Kyoto. Almost the sense of destiny forestalled by all sorts of accident.
Yes, and there is also a sort of elegance in all the Japanese objects. I think I am looking to find this sort of elegance in my writing. It's a sort of model, the way which the Japanese make art.
I'm talking to Jean-Philippe Toussaint, one of the most international of writers, but at the same time mysteriously self-conscious, yet at the same time aware of the world around him. He is a writer, as he says, who specializes in simultaneity and oppositions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and about what the consciousness, there is one thing I can't speak about, it is humor. Because sometimes there is question about humor. And once I write a sort of aphorism, and it is, humor is like spying. It's better not to say how you proceed if you don't want to damage the efficiency of the operation.
Oh, so a humorist is like a spy. He can't reveal his sources and he can't reveal his confederates.
Yes. It is.
The technique is brisk but ineffable.
Yes, it is.
I've been speaking with Jean-Philippe Toussaint, author most recently in English of Self-Portrait Abroad, but we've also enjoyed Together Running Away, both of them published by Dalkey Archive Press. Thank you, Jean-Philippe, for joining me.
Thank you, Michael.
You can comment on today's show or read an excerpt from Self-Portrait Abroad at kcrw.com/bookworm. You can podcast this program, share it with a friend, or embed it on your blog with a click of a button on our new media player at kcrw.com. My co-producer is Melinda Siegel. Alan Howard is associate producer. The technical director is Mario Diaz. You know, we've interviewed many French writers in recent years on the show. You can hear them on our website, among them Emmanuel Carrère, Mark Shodolenko, Jacques Roubaud, Marcel Benabou, and today, Jean-Pierre Toussaint. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
Too. Books make you laugh and sing. Books tell you everything. They're your treasured friends in prose and rhyme.
Now it's Book of the Mouse Club time. To the jungles you can go in books.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcast the most recent ones from our website. Go to kcrw.com/bookworm. Plus, copies are available. For ordering information, call 310-450-5183.
Books tell you everything. They're your treasured friends in prose and rhyme. Now it's Book of the Mouse Club.